This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The Simpsons is the kind of a show that people watch over and over again. Many of the show's episodes continue to linger in pop culture no matter how many years have passed since they originally aired.
Hey, look! The FBI Light Opera Society sings the complete Gilbert and Sullivan.
Regeneration of school are we, prettiest school girl well can be, filled to the brim with girlish glee. Bring your girls from school, everything is a source of fun.
Everything is a source of fun. The infamous Lake Terror episode from season 5. Well, a new play on stage at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham explores the role that show and others like The Simpsons would play in a post-apocalyptic universe. It imagines what would happen if all that's left are people's memories of what they think they heard or saw. Can storytelling help rebuild a lost world? Mr. Burns, A Post-Electric World, opens at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham tonight. It runs through Saturday, November 7th, and we get a preview in our studio today. Joining me first is Jeff Storer, Artistic Director of Man Bites Dog and Director of this play. Jeff, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Tell us more about this play, the premise of the show.
Well, it takes place at a period of time where there has been some sort of disease that has gone through the world, and the folks that are left are having to sort of regroup and figure out a way to sort of survive. And part of the way in which they do that, I think, is to sort of evoke the things that they remember about the society that they had once lived in. Through the course of the play plays in three acts. We see a movement forward in time. The first act is the very near future. The second act is 7 years later. And the third act is 75 years in the future. So I think the playwright is looking at that sense of what happens to culture, pop culture in particular, as the years go by. And maybe even more importantly, how we deal with certain tragedies, like the contextualization of something like 9/11. How do we continue to tell those stories? How do we continue to comfort one another? How do we continue to act as a sense of solace for one another?
And it's particularly interesting in the context of this play, right? The conceit of this play is that there's been a real break in continuity. So it's not
correct.
It's pop culture over time. It's do you remember that Simpsons episode and trying to reconstruct based on the fragments that are left after a profound break?
Well, it's the fragments that are left in your head,
yeah.
and the way in which in our need to connect with one another, that's part of the way that we do that is we connect. I think we connect via the things I remember and the things that you remember, and how does that share? So the scene clip that we're going to hear, for instance, is about sort of reconstructing something that everyone may have seen or may have heard someone talk about, as you mentioned in the lead, about the fact that, you know, it's part of our culture. So there's a character in the play that claims that he's never seen a full Simpsons episode all the way through, and yet he's doing voices from it and everything like that because he's been, he's related to them through other people.
Well, let's take a little look at this or a little listen as we do here on the show. We're joined now by two actors, LaMarov Jones and Michael Brockie. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
LaMarov, the two of you are going to do a scene now that happens right at the beginning of the show, right? Maybe you can set this up for us.
That is correct. That begins around a campfire, the original storytelling, trope, if you will. And these two characters are trying to recall the Simpsons episode that we heard.
All right.
It starts. The episode starts with Bart getting letters saying, I'm going to kill you, Bart.
But doesn't she have a pen pal or something?
No, that's yes. She has a pen pal, and that's another... Yes, it starts, she has a pen.
She has a pen pal from someone in some Asian country.
Yes, like a repressed country or something. And Bart is like, thinks that's, is making fun of
something
her.
Something like that. And then he gets a letter.
Right. He gets the letter, and it says, written in what appears to be blood, like, I'm going to kill you, Bart.
Yeah, that's right.
He gets these letters, and like, no one, like everyone's really blasé about it. And at one point, he's like... Everything is shot like Cape Fear, so like there are all like all these smash cuts where it's like duh, where like they start on a shot and then sort of widen out in this way that Cape Fear like. So it's like he'll open a letter And suddenly it'll be like a smash cut on a letter like, I'm going to kill you, Bart. Oing! And then like widen out. And at one point he's got all the letters on the kitchen table and it's an overhead shot. All of these letters written in blood. And it's like, womp, womp. Yeah, that's the sound from the Cape Fear soundtrack. That's the, womp, womp, womp. It's that. It's that. And it's all of them sitting around the kitchen table. And it's like, die, Bart, die. I'm going to kill you, Bart. Da, 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 da. And then, like, one's written in pen. And he's like, this one is written in pen. And Homer's like, oh, I wrote that one because when... Bart, oh, I wrote that one because for that time when Bart tattooed this on my butt, and he, like, pulls down his pants, and his butt is tattooed with the word wide load, and the whole family is like, they just start laughing for, like, a really weirdly long time. Marge, Lisa, and the baby are just like, ha-ha, it's very... I just thought it was funny that they would just take a break from the episode to laugh at Homer. Anyway,
there's a court case.
Right. The court case. But before the court case, at the end of that sequence, you see a ketchup bottle spurting Die Bart Die onto a letter. It's a reveal, and it's Sideshow Bob.
Those are actors Lamarev Jones and Michael Brockie performing a scene from the show Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. It opens tonight at Man Bites Dog Theater. I mean, it's a wonderful play, and the whole idea of sort of reprising The Simpsons, but it's not. It's not a look at The Simpsons. It's this bigger question of how not only do these fragments, do we recall these, particularly after a traumatic episode, but then the consensus about which parts to commonly remember and build on.
And what order they come in, and how does our memory work? How does the cultural memory work? Gets, I think, addressed in all three acts. We see that sort of evolution of what fragments. Bart was talking earlier today about the idea that in so many ways it's a mashup. It's what we consider now a mashup, which is that you're using fragments of popular songs, fragments of popular television, fragments of popular movies, and those are all getting somehow now all conflated into one thing, and that's the thing that we take with us.
I wonder how it is, too. Michael and Lamarev, I'll ask you both as kind of the same question, this idea of pulling together these pop culture references as fragments, shows you might have seen as sort of the way of recontextualizing this and the many layers of cultural construction that go on. Because there's a reference to the film in here that is also we have to know about. And then we might want to know that Robert Mitchum played in the original film and had tattoos. So all of these multiple references that actually get embodied in this show. Kind of a fun play to play, huh?
Oh, it's a great play to play. And it seems like there's just so many levels to it, and we're just really fortunate to kind of find ourselves in the middle of this great mess.
Yeah, I mean, coming into it, our first week of rehearsal was a lot of table work and watching that Cape Fear episode and watching scenes from the Cape Fear movie, and these were all things I hadn't seen. I'm a little younger, so my only memory of The Simpsons is the Do the Bartman music video. Okay. That's the one memory that I have.
Well, did you find yourself saying you remember that part when?
I remember that part when Bart had a music video and Fox was doing nothing but broadcasting and advertising for that. And I was like, oh, it's a cartoon that's going to have a music video. That's cool.
And in the biggest sense, this is what Marcuse was talking about. The idea that Fox would have this amazing social critique that ultimately undermines everything Fox is doing and yet can still capitalize it is how, you know, the whole thing is one big
happy family. And critiques Fox directly.
Yeah.
There are a lot of episodes where they make fun of Fox in the episode, which I think is great.
That's Bart Matthews, who composed the music in this play. And there's an interesting story about that as well, Bart, because the fact is you've been looking to do this play, and I'll address this question to Jeff, for quite a while.
For a couple of years, yeah. It's been on our radar since it was first workshopped in both Seattle and in Washington, D.C. at Woolly Mammoth. And we knew that she was a playwright worth watching. And as this play began to develop and began to be produced around, we knew that this was the kind of show that Man Bites Dog wanted to do.
And you got the rights to it. But then, and there's a libretto, so because the music all happens in the third act. Have I got that? A lot of
yes.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah. A lot of it.
So then the question is, well, the music, and that was just a little bit pricey. Am I right?
Well, it's not. It wasn't a matter of pricey at all. It was actually a matter of the fact that Bart Matthews and I have collaborated on probably a dozen different projects, and one of the reasons to choose this project was to have the opportunity to collaborate with Bart.
Well, I didn't want to suggest that it was the cheap way out of this, but the fact is, so you have all of that going. Tell us about this, though, Bart. Now you've got to write music. The lyrics are there.
Right.
The show is already kind of
yeah.
set.
Mm-hmm.
How do you write music for the post-apocalyptic
yeah,
world?
That is an excellent question. I started out sort of intellectualizing it, probably overly mm-hmm. so, and I thought, what are the historical reference for apocalypses, and like thought about post-World War I and the sort of right turn that things took culturally with musically, certainly with things like Schoenberg and Stravinsky mm-hmm. and the sort of angst that came out of the loss of human life. And Weimar Germany, similar thing, some really, really strange and odd artistic things that no one had ever seen before. And then once I got into the libretto, what I saw, and this is a lot of what we've been talking about already, is how many pop culture references there were, and that it didn't make sense to take a 90-degree turn, because really what the libretto is asking for is to have this be an accretion or accumulation of everything that came before. Instead of going in a completely different direction, it's things stacked on things, stacked on things, stacked on things. So it needed to have continuity, and there's a lot of pop culture references, and so it needed to have continuity as far as that goes as well. So when I sat down to write it, saw what the lyrics were sort of communicating to me, I was like, okay, my original idea is not going to work at all. This does not need to be weird and avant-garde. It actually needs to be way more accessible. It's steeped in the now, but we also need to believe that it's taking place at a future time, that after a major event.
But given the layers of pop culture and how it changes over time and now so rapidly, dealing with a mashup like that leaves you with a lot of choices. Which do I choose and what do I leave off the table, right?
Yeah, and in those instances, basically, from just sort of a inside my process point of view, I just let the lyrics themselves kind of communicate both contextually, and then like they have a rhythm and a cadence to them, and that kind of tells me the direction that the music needs to go. It actually makes it, I don't want to say it was easy, but it makes it easier when you listen to what's there on the page. It kind of becomes self-evident after a while. So that's the thing, like thinking about it in the abstract was not actually particularly useful.
Well, I would think having that outside reference point is important, unlike sort of what happened in the modern age artistically, where the break was so shocking that you have artists and composers going inside, so thoroughly deep inside, that they're, again, presenting something we've never heard before, shocking us.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I think that ultimately we have to stay true to the message of the third act in all of that, which is telling a story about the end of the world. In a musical format.
Yeah. End of the world.
Okay, and using the Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Exclamation point. Well, look.
Right.
Lamarov, the third act is a musical, and you have a number prepared for us. Maybe you can set that up for us, would you?
Absolutely. Like Bart said, the third act is a retelling of, you know, the big event that happened 75 years ago, and I play Bart in the third act, and this is what he sings when it looks like he himself is on the edge of death.
Oh, I stand on the deck, I don't feel the boat sway. My heart's already gone, my soul's already slipped away. I'm on the verge of laughing, maybe I'm a fool, but I'm gonna leave this life so lightly, yes, I'm gonna keep my cool. This is the moment when I say goodbye to everything. It's the end of everything. The last door closed. It's the final slam. I'm all alone. I'm finally free. This world means nothing, nothing to me.
Lamarov Jones performing a song from the third act of Mr. Burns, a post-electric play that opens tonight at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham, and we're getting a preview today on the state of things. Director Jeff Storer is with us as well. There are three acts, and as you say, they take place over very different in different time periods. As you direct this play, how much of it is continuity, and how much is a complete break from scene to scene or from act to act?
Well, the first and the second act are 7 years apart, and actually do represent the same characters that we've seen around that campfire telling stories. In the second act, we see what becomes of them 7 years later. But then, of course, 75 years later, you're seeing what's become of their children and what's become of their grandchildren. So it broadens the birth, I think, by that third act. This is also a project I just want to say quickly is so based on collaboration with a musical director, a fight choreographer, a choreographer, an extraordinary cast, a set and costume designed by Derek Ivey. This is really a special group of people working together, and that's made it for us just a lot of fun.
Tell us a little bit about the set design. I mean, if you evoke a cartoon series, you know, you can imagine caricature and a lot of color. On the other hand, this is the end of civilization as we know it. Little more drab. How do you set that up?
There's one interesting thing which I'll tease for what it's worth, which is that lighting instruments no longer have any purpose. Lamps have no purpose. Chandeliers have no purpose. So Derek Ivey has done a brilliant set design where the proscenium arch of the theater is constructed of useless, wasted lighting instruments. So it's encrusted, really, with all that kind of iron and wiring and everything that you'd need to if you were in an electric society as opposed to post-electric.
And it becomes the frame for our observation of the theater. And
I was just going to say, one other thing I wanted to mention is that Lemaire mentioned our table work. A book called Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel proved to be really a great touchstone for the cast. And it's a very, very similar sort of story about a group of Shakespearean actors who come together after in a post-apocalyptic world. But that book became something that we all read prior to the first rehearsal. And I think it's been something that's been a touchstone for us throughout the rest of the process.
And we've talked about the many layers of pop culture that are invested in this play. It's also, in many ways, I think, the history of theater itself, right?
Exactly. I think the movement from what the prehistoric men and women did around the campfire when someone came home with a kill and said, look, I want to act out what happened to me today, that was sort of the beginning. And that it becomes, I think, very symbolic with the fire. But then as we move forward, we start to write scripts, we start to put together things, tell stories, find ways to put it together. And then possibly the play suggests then that it becomes actually more than that ultimately.
Well, and the telling and the retelling. I mean, on the one hand, just telling how we brought the antelope down is compelling drama, but embedded in that are the virtues that are required for bringing down the antelope, and should anyone have not shown virtue, that'll be told as well, and that becomes a kind of morality lesson.
Exactly.
And then generation after generation, those things get told, retold in various forms.
One of the things I absolutely love about this script is just that as fun and entertaining as it is all the way through, it's got some really stunningly moving moments that I think are about the basic human condition. And I think an evening with all of those things in it is quite extraordinary.
It's a play for body, mind, and soul. And if it's got anything to do with The Simpsons at all, it's got to be a riot and a good time out.
Right.
So
here.
Why not? We're talking today about the show that is called Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, and my guests today are Jeff Storer. He is the artistic director at Man Bites Dog Theater and the director of the play. Bart Matthews is with us. He composed and performs music for the show, Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. Lemaire Jones and Michael Brocky are with us as well. They are actors in the show. And Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, opens tonight, runs through Saturday, November 7th. You can get details at our website, stateofthings.org. It's at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham. Thank all of you for being on the show.
Thank you, really.
Thank you
nice
for having us.
Just ahead, photographer documents the experience of 10 weeks at Army Basic Training in a new book. Stay tuned.